This morning, if you have your Bibles, if you will turn with me to Ephesians as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians today. We come to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through the end of the chapter. And I'd like to read these verses this morning. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands the thing which is good, that he might have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, help us to understand that through Jesus Christ, through His blood that was shed for us, that we could experience a new covenant given to us through His shed blood, that we have been made new creatures in you. We have a new heart, a new mind, a new direction, a new life. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would just speak to us through your word and help us to understand the challenge and that the Apostle Paul lays before us, to understand this high calling, to set aside our old ways and to embrace the new life that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, speak to us through your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at the fact that the Apostle Paul besought us to walk with Jesus, to realize our position in Christ. And in this portion of his letter to the church at Ephesus, he once again draws the distinction between the old man and the new man. What we were before we became a Christian, and what we are after we have become a Christian. The things that we did before we became a Christian, the life we lived, the attitudes we possessed, the direction that our heart was leading us, and how that it has turned 180 degrees when we come to know Jesus Christ. One of the challenging things that we live in our world is we face a world that's in rebellion against God. And every day, Satan lays before us as believers temptations to embrace the things of this world instead of embracing Christ. And there's nothing more that He wants than for us to turn our backs on the One who has redeemed us instead of following after Him. Paul is challenging us to realize this new life. Let's just take a look at what he's got to say to us. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now what does he mean by that? Walking as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Well, once again, the word vain means empty. It means that there is no substance there. What he's saying is the world that's in rebellion to God really doesn't have a proper understanding, nor can they understand truth. They can't really grasp what really is to be seen and understood and what God has revealed to us. You can take an example of this and the walking in the vanity of their own mind. In the area of science, I don't know if we still have any out there. I know we've got a couple of Dave Hunt's books where he talks about the new atheists whose goal is to undermine and destroy Christianity, but they have illogical arguments and no means to destroy that which is logical and true. And what we see is a lot of times modern man, in denying God, tries to justify our existence and tries to justify the creation of the world through his own means of determination or trying to determine how it came into being. One of the smartest men that ever lived was Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking first came up with the concept of he embraced the Big Bang theory, and that things just came into existence through a Big Bang. But if one sits down and logically looks at all of that, where did the elements come from before the Big Bang? And what prevented the Big Bang from happening? And after he had talked about this for a number of years, he came to the conclusion, well, the Big Bang theory wouldn't work. But it really was just a big balloon or an envelope of that created all things. But one still has to ask the question, where did the elements come for the creation? Because not since the beginning of time has anything ever been created out of nothing. One of the problems that we have with as men and women is when we try to justify our existence apart from God, we have to take a look at where did things start from and where did they come from and how did I get here? And how did all the systems that are in the universe, including all the wonderful systems in my body, come into being? And how do they function and work? Because if you look at, man wants to say, well, they just evolved, they just happened. But we look at our world today and you don't see new creatures evolving. You don't see new systems evolving. And everything that man takes and creates with exclamation points, he takes that which exists, examines it, and changes it, but it still existed before he took it. Much is being done with in the whole realm of the genome or the DNA molecules and how things are coming into being, and there's a whole technology coming out, and it's called CRISPR technology, where they can clip little parts of the gene on the DNA strand and replace those with other parts. And that's what genetically modified crops, that's what genetically modified animals, that's what genetically modified people are about. trying to modify that which God created. But the amazing thing is that we were listening to a man make a presentation on the whole concept of men being able to create new life. Even with the CRISPR technology, where they have the ability to microscopically, just in such small parts of the DNA, to take and remove genes, they may know what, for example, what gene a defect is located on that may be causing a genetic order like muscular dystrophy or one of those things. What they don't know is when they take that gene out and replace it with a different gene, how many other things have they interfered with, because they don't understand the intricacy of the whole DNA molecule and how the genes work with one another. And what you see is things that we have happening. They've genetically modified our grains. And I don't know about you, but when I was a little kid, and I'm a lot older than most of you, when I was a little kid, hardly anybody was allergic to peanuts. Nobody was allergic to wheat, it didn't seem like. There wasn't all of these allergies. There wasn't all of these horrible diseases that are caused by grains that we eat every day and nuts and things. But all of a sudden, within the last 20 years, it's just gone crazy. They used to get peanuts away on the airplane, and you didn't see people getting sick. But now, they don't give peanuts away, because just to have peanuts near some people causes them to have an allergic reaction. Well, what happened? Well, if you look at, for example, wheat, there's a lot of people that are very allergic to the gluten in the wheat, and it causes them to have all kinds of digestive problems and other health issues. But they've genetically modified the wheat to make the gluten different today than it was when I was a kid, because they're helping us. But I want you to understand, in the vanity of people's mind, apart from God, when we try to do things to His creation, we only make a mess of it. I don't know if you remember, there used to be all these beautiful purple flowers that you'd see when you drove by lakes and rivers in Minnesota. And they actually used to sell them in the flower shop or the plant stores to plant in your yards. And what they were is a flower that was brought over here from a different country. It wasn't native to our land. It had no natural enemies, and it began to spread like crazy. And pretty soon it was taking over all the lakes and all the streams in Minnesota, and they outlawed it, and you couldn't have it in your yard anymore. Or you've got where men have brought in, for example, they decided that they were going to bring in the Japanese ladybug or a ladybug from a different country to be more effective in helping to get rid of some type of a mite. And instead, all it did is it had no natural enemies, and it killed all the normal ladybugs. And it would bite you, and it was smelly, and it was hard to kill. Man, when he tries to do things and go outside of God's creation, has problems. And part of it is because of the vanity of his mind. Right now we have a whole group of people that think, you know, if we just get rid of all the people in the world except for the ones we want to keep, then we can solve all the problems in the world. And they don't realize that the biggest problem they have is the sin problem that is theirs, where they're filled with such pride and arrogance they do not see what God's world was created to be and what God created man to do, bring glory to him and not dishonor him. So Paul tells us in verse 17, "This I say therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their own mind." So we're not to walk in the vanity of our own mind, but we're look at God's truth and make God's word and His truth the foundation of our life. And that we are to walk as He tells us to walk. Now it doesn't mean just physically walk. It means our whole lifestyle is to be based upon the truth of God's Word. And I want to tell you, if you walk according to what God says in His Word, you will live a life that will be honoring to Him, and it will bring glory to Him, and it will bring blessing to you. Let's go on and see what Paul says about some of these things. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. If you just hold your finger there and turn with me to the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about this blindness, this ignorance, and how that it totally leads to man's depravity and rebellion against God. In verse 8 of chapter 1, Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." What Paul is saying here is the same thing he's saying in the book of Ephesians. The Gentile, the unbeliever, the one who doesn't trust in God, views the truth as that which is evil and wicked, and views error as that which is good. And what he says right here in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Romans is, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They say that the truth is what causes all the problems. I want to tell you, look at what God's plan is. Let's take for marriage, for example. God established one woman for one man for life. As long as they live, they should be one for each other. Out of that union should come children. There would be a blessing to them and a blessing to the Lord. And that God gave us the great privilege and honor of bringing new life into the world with Him. And then to teach our children about Him. What a blessing. But the world says something different. The world says just have relationships. The world says stay with somebody as long as they make you happy or as long as they please you. But the minute that something goes wrong, abandon them. Or have multiple partners. Or don't have children at all because children are a burden. Everything that God said is truth, the world says, is lies. And everything that the world is lying about comes against the truth. We need to understand that the world holds the truth in unrighteousness. And so I want you to, when you listen to the evening news, and especially it's gotten even worse, you have to put on a perspective of what is they telling us is the truth and what is lies. What are they agreeing with God's principles and what are they coming against God's principles? Because wherever they come against the truth, they're speaking in unrighteousness. And they're leading you away from the Lord. And that's what the world will do. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 19, verse 19, he says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I want to tell you, people say, well, what about people that have never had a Bible or people who have never had somebody preach the gospel to them? The Bible tells us that we're all without excuse because everything around us reveals the fact that there's a God. And not only does it reveal the fact that there's a God, as he says here, it reveals his eternal power and his Godhead. And he says here that being understood by the things that are made. In other words, if you look at the creation that's around us, we understood that there had to be a creator. Now, I've shared with you before that if you go to the microscopic, the very, very small microscopic examination of the cells, There are interesting things that you find in the function of the cell. Did you know that there's little hydraulic systems in the cell? God created hydraulic systems to help the cell function. And a lot of things that you see in our machines, they're at work in our bodies, in creation. God's there. And man copies them and then says, look at what I've done. Look how smart I am. Well, I don't know anybody that is really good at bringing about life. It's interesting, a few years ago, some scientists were going to create the new life out of nothing. And so they got all of the components that they needed for life, and they gave it an electrical charge because they figured that's the way that everything began. And these scientists, after they'd spent I don't know how many millions of dollars with all their equipment and studies, eons of time, they created a molecule that mimicked the DNA molecule. The only problem is it was backwards. The DNA molecule always twists a certain way. Their molecules twisted the opposite way. And they couldn't live. They couldn't bring forth life. And to say, well, it just happened by chance, after they spent millions of dollars, taken hundreds of hours of time in science labs, and then they come up with something that won't live anyway, but it mimics that which does. But they say God can't exist. Everything that you see in the creation around us reveals the fact that there has to be a creator. And Paul goes on in Romans, and he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is the description of a Gentile, one who doesn't accept and know God, that Paul is talking about in Ephesians. It's not God's darkened their heart. It's not that God doesn't want him to know about him, but it's that they have willfully chosen to ignore all they see and make excuses on why they won't believe and replace it with myths that are totally illogical and come against the truth, and their hearts become darkened. And not only are they darkened, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. This is the mark of someone who's walking in rebellion to God. This is what we have been delivered from. That we no longer profess to be wise in and of our own thinking or following the thinking of men. And consequently, we are not fools. In the Psalms, it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Being a fool has no equality to our intellectual ability. You can be the smartest person in the world and still be a fool. You can have an IQ where you know a whole bunch of facts, where you can do math problems, where you can put together scientific experiments, but if you deny the existence and the reality of God, you are a fool. It is not equated to our intellectual ability. And he goes on and he says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-feathered beasts and creeping things. Now, it's interesting if you go back and look at where people who rebel against the truth that is found in the Scriptures of who God is, where they end up. They end up worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Today, our kids in the public schools are being taught to worship the creature. How many times have you heard about, well, first it was global warming, then it was global cooling, then it was just climate change because it warmed up one year and cooled down the next year, so it's just climate change. But if you look at the things, there's always been these things. But they say that it's all been caused by man. You know, we're having more severe hurricanes and more severe storms. But if you want to know really what one of the biggest contributors to that is, look at what's happening on the sun. When the sun has storms, when the sun sends out these giant radioactive flares, it impacts the weather on Earth. And I was just reading that there is a huge sun storm just recently, and so we can expect some events going on Earth in the near future. But most people will never, ever hear about that. They'll hear about the fact you need to buy more electric cars to get rid of gasoline so that we can buy lithium batteries that will create more problems for the environment than any gasoline would. And then what we need to do after that is we all need to get solar batteries and solar generators and solar panels on our roofs, even though when it comes time to get rid of them, they are more toxic than anything. And the same thing with the wind towers. Men become fools, and they don't look at the facts, and they don't look at what's really causing things. The second law of thermodynamics says that unless you interject energy, things will wind down and die. That's the second law of thermodynamics. It says the only way that you keep things going is to inject into it. The Bible tells us that the world is being sustained by Christ. Our lives are being sustained by Christ. If you look at our world, did you know the earth is dying? The Bible tells us it's going to die. But it's not because of gasoline, and it's not because of men. It's because sin entered the world, and in that sense, it's because of men. And when sin entered the world, the death process began. At the core of the earth is the magnetic core. The magnetic core of the earth has an impact on the ozone layer. The magnetic core of the earth has impact on a lot of things. And did you know that the magnetic core of the earth is losing power due to the second law of thermodynamics? It is less strong today than it was when Christ walked on the earth. It will be less strong if the Lord doesn't return and establish His new kingdom. It will be less strong 100 years from now than it is today. And it impacts things. But you won't hear anything about that from the scientists that want to promote global warming and control your life with lies instead of truth. Now, Paul goes on back in Ephesians. Who being past feeling, in verse 19, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all on cleanness with greediness. Now, what is lasciviousness? It's a big word we don't use very often today. It means that they have no moral direction. It means that they really do whatever they want to do. There is no structure or things holding them back from doing what they want to do. And they allow their lusts to control them because they don't acknowledge the truth of God's Word and what He has said. And so lasciviousness is the mark of an unbeliever. I want you to examine what the unbelieving world promotes. They're promoting marijuana. And they're saying, oh, it's not a big problem. I was at a meeting for work, and they had the man who was in charge of drug enforcement from the Grand Forks Police Department. This is about 4 years ago. And I asked the question, is marijuana a gateway drug? He said, it is the gateway drug. Most people that get involved in harder drugs start out on marijuana. But the other thing is, man in his infinite wisdom, where he denies truth, has taken marijuana and genetically modified it so that the TCH, that's the element within marijuana that causes you to get the high, that causes you to have the hallucination aspect of the drug, is much more powerful today than it was when the hippies existed when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s. It's not the same drug at all. And now they want, and there's no real way of, when you are driving drunk and get pulled over, they'll give you a breathalyzer and they can measure how much alcohol content. And we know they've done scientific studies and they know that most people become impaired at certain levels. Not everybody. Some people can take one little bit of alcohol and become impaired. But did you know there's no really good way, unless you spend thousands of dollars, to test how impaired you are with marijuana? And so now they want to promote marijuana, but as this guy said, it's a gateway drug. Because it gets people, they get tired of the low buzz and they want something deeper. And so they move up. And I have seen people's lives destroyed by drugs. The thing is, they won't tell you that. Did they tell you that beer will kill you? How many Miller Lite commercials have you listened to where they said, one of the side effects of Miller Lite is if you drink too much of it, you can get pancreatitis and bleed out? I had a nephew who had that happen. Drank so much beer, he got pancreatitis, ended up at Mayo Clinic. The day before he was supposed to come home, he bled out and died. They don't tell you that. They just say, follow your lusts. They don't tell you about the fact that if you have multiple partners, you have a much greater chance of contracting diseases that will kill you. And not only that, they don't tell you, why did God create man and woman for a family? To establish a relationship which would be focused on Him, and that He would be at the center of that relationship, and that as these two people would be drawn closer together, Jesus says they would become one flesh in God. But if you've got all kinds of people you're with, who are you with? And then it becomes the children. What about the children? If you look at what's happening in our nation today, it is so disgusting. They're trafficking children into our country from all over the world for wicked and evil purposes, and saying it doesn't happen. Just open up the borders and let them come. I heard on the news they have lost track, I believe it was, of 30,000 kids. Don't know what happened to them. They saw them come across, but don't know where they're at. Evil and wickedness. Lasciviousness. Allowing your lust to run amok. That's what the world does. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But if you have not, but ye have not so learned in Christ. Is this the way that Christians act? The answer is no. We haven't learned these things in Christ. But that's what the world is constantly telling us. And we could spend hours just going down the lists of all the wicked things that are out there. But we haven't learned that. We've learned the truth. What did God create you to be? He created you to bring glory to Him. How do you bring glory to Him? Walking in His truth, walking in His holiness, walking in His righteousness, reflecting His character. And that causes you to live a life that will be blessed by God. And you won't experience all the wickedness that's out there, all the heartache and evil. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We put it off. As Christians, we set it aside. And God gives us the power to do it. In and of ourselves, none of us can do it because we're drawn to it in our own flesh. But when we become Christians, the Spirit of God indwells us, the blood of Christ covers us, we walk in the power of God, and it enables us to set it aside. That we're no longer a part of it. No longer drawn to it. And He says, what does that result in? And you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind is it's renewed in the way it perceives things, in the way it understands things, in the way it processes things, but most importantly, it's renewed in its relationship to God. As we look back in the book of Romans earlier, we saw that the fool has said in his heart there is no God, and that he has professed to be wise, but he's really a fool because he knows nothing when he thinks he knows something. We are faced with the opportunity to know the truth. And the amazing thing is, the truth is what sets us free. The truth that Jesus came to pay our penalty for our sin. The truth that God loved us so much that He did it. The truth that the only way to cause bitterness, anger, hatred, murder, and killing to stop is through the power of God. It's interesting, a few years ago, we went on vacation, and we've got three videos at home of three men who were heavily involved in, one was Hezbollah, one was in the Palestinian Organization Movement, the other one had grown up in that whole thing and been brainwashed by through his education to hate the Jewish people. We presented those three videos on the Wednesday nights that we were gone, and it's amazing as you listen to this. And I've shared with you before, the gentleman who was saved out of Hezbollah, he was one of the leaders. And he had gone to Turkey, I believe it was. And it was in Turkey through a series of events, he ended up becoming a Christian. He was a devout Muslim to the point he hated Jews, he hated Christians. What Hezbollah is doing to Israel today, he was doing that 20 years ago. And he got saved. And the newness in his life, he didn't know what to do. Because if you're a Muslim and you get saved and people find out you get saved, a lot of times you're killed because you become a Christian. Didn't know what to do. So he wasn't going to tell his wife, but he came home and he read his Bible. And the Bible talks about loving one another. It talks about a husband loving his wife. It talks about the fact that we're to love our enemies and pray for those that despitefully use us. And he began to live his life that way. You know what? One of the first things that happened was he came home and he's living and his wife says, "What happened to you? You're different." He didn't know if he should tell her. You see, prior, when he was a Muslim, she was a piece of property to him. She was to be used by him for his purposes, whatever those purposes were. And if he wanted to get rid of her, he just said, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," and they're divorced. She was a piece of property, a piece of chattel. She wasn't really a person. And all of a sudden, he's treating her with love and respect. Something she'd never seen before. Finally, he told her he had become a Christian. Her initial response was she was going to leave him. But after a period of time, she became a believer as well. You see, he no longer hates Jews. He no longer wants to kill Jews. He prays for those that he was involved with in the Muslim organizations that desired to kill Jews and even kill one another. And he prays that they will come to Christ. That's the newness of mind versus the oldness of heart. And Paul tells us that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God wants you to be righteous and holy. Righteous means without moral defect. Holy means that you need nothing else but you are pure. If you take and add anything to something that's supposed to be 100% pure, it's not pure. One of the great tactics of the world, you ever seen Zero Coke? And it says zero calories and zero Coke. I don't want to blow your bubble, but it actually does have calories because they pay a fine. Every year they pay a fine so that they can call it Zero Coke with zero calories, but they know it's got calories because they lie to you. This is the world. But the thing is, he's saying, when God says you're one thing and you walk with God, then you're that. It's not like the world that's put zero calories but still got calories in it. When he says, "Be holy as I am holy," he will enable you to walk as he walks. Wherefore, putting away lying. So this is how he tells us how we put on the new man. Putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Remember, he says, don't lie. We were reading an account of during World War II, there was some people that were hiding Jews.
and they're hiding Jews in their storm in their cellar, and the door to their cellar was right underneath their kitchen table. And so they put a rug underneath their kitchen table over the cover of the door of the cellar. And the Germans came and they said, "We know you have Jews in this house. Tell us, where are they?" So they said, "They're under the table." And the Germans got mad and left. But they were under the table in the cellar. But the thing is, we don't have to lie to gain advantage. And that's what the world does. Have you ever been lied to so that somebody can get you to do something for them? Or that they can gain an advantage over you? You don't have to do that. And we're told not to do it. We're told to tell the truth. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Now what does that mean? Be ye angry and sin not. Did you know that Jesus was angry? He who was meek and humble was angry. But he was angry because of the unrighteousness and the ungodliness and the wickedness of the Sadducees and the Pharisees in leading the people away from God. And he got angry. He overthrew the money changers' tables twice and drove them out of the temple with whips. Why? Because they were mocking God and making a mockery of it. And he said, "You have turned my house of prayer into a den of thieves." There's a place for anger, but it's righteous indignation. It's not indignation based upon, "I'm going to get my way, so I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be angry at my wife. I'm going to be angry with the kids. I'm going to be angry at my husband." Why? Because I didn't get my way and I'm going to show them. That's not righteous indignation. The Bible tells us you shouldn't allow that kind of anger to even be, to go to bed with that kind of anger. You're to deal with it immediately. Confess it as sin, and if you've sinned against the person that you're harboring that type of anger against, you need to confess it to them and say you're sorry. There's a righteous indignation, but there's also the world's anger, where they're angry because I can't get my way. And that is not righteous indignation. Neither give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? We live in a day and age where it's very easy to do that. Electronics have made it easy. Satan can place all kinds of things in our hearts, minds, and eyes with electronics. He tells us, don't give place to the devil. Don't do that which you know is wicked and evil. Because what you do is, it's like you're playing with fire. Remember growing up, and I didn't really know the power of gasoline. All I knew is that gasoline, when you lit it, it burned really fast. And my folks had left for the day, and I decided that my sister and I should barbecue. So I got out the grill, and I got out some briquettes, and I sprayed some of the barbecue stuff on, and I lit it, and it didn't seem like anything's happening. Well, I didn't know that briquettes take a long time to heat up. So I went and got gasoline. Figure that's good. But I didn't get just a little bit of gasoline. I got a coffee can full of gasoline. And I'm going to get this briquettes going. Well, God is gracious and God is merciful, because I could have been burned to death. Because I brought that coffee can of gasoline and I was going to dump a little bit on the briquettes, and I tipped it over, and the briquettes, of course, were hot, and they had sparks in them. And immediately the gasoline went up, and it went up to the top of the can. I threw the can away from me and had gas all over the front yard. It wasn't on me. My parents came home. They were not excited. But I want you to understand, we don't know the power of something, and we think that we've got things under control, and we don't know what we're doing. And so he says, don't give a place to the devil. It's like taking a coffee can of gasoline to light briquettes. You don't know what you're doing, and you give a place to the devil, and all of a sudden, he's there to destroy you. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I want to tell you just one example there, and we've got to get moving because we're just about done, and we've got to get... But the thing is, if you don't use foul language and tell filthy jokes and laugh at everybody else's that are telling them, but only allow that which is good and righteous to come out of your mouth, I want to tell you, people notice. Have you ever had anybody come up and they swear and then they see you're there and they go, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to swear. The only reason they do that is because they know you don't swear. You don't use foul language. You don't tell filthy jokes. And he's saying, don't allow that. As believers, as those that have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, there's to be a difference. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, we're out of time, and so we'll have to pick up here next week and look at other things that he's telling us not to do, and the things that are opposite of those that we need to be doing. Everyone that's here this morning that is a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a new creature in Christ. You're to put on the new man, not the old man. You're allowed Jesus to place the old man, pull the old man off of you. It's been replaced with a new mind, a new heart, a new soul, a new purpose, and you're to bring glory to God with your lives. May He receive the glory and the praise. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand this. And Lord, I pray that You would... be with every one of us. We live in a world that is where Satan is constantly attempting to place us in temptation's way and cause us to rebel against You who have paid such a tremendous price to redeem us. May we look to You. And may we seek to honor Your name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you will turn with me to 380. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, all is only for my King, all is only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not all my blood I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and it will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee. Lord, take our lives and let them be ever only all for thee. Help us to walk in your power and your might, that we may experience the depth of fellowship with you, and that we bring glory to your name. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.